Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael Steve Robb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Robb's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Robb Bossolari here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Wow, why did... Oh, y'all are muted yourselves. Unmute yourselves, you idiots.
Hey, I didn't do anything.
I didn't think so. And this thing's telling me y'all fucking muted yourselves. And I'm like, why would they do that? And this thing has a bug, a big bug.
Already off to an awesome start.
Well, you know, it's the end of the year. So if everything's going to go wrong at once, well, that'll be a New Year's resolution to figure out how to get the show going.
Oh, no, it's Y2K is finally catching up to us all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch out. The airplanes Y2K. Are going to be falling from the skies.
This is a time for a Jericho joke.
Oh, boy. Well, no joking with this. It's the 2025 Vegas Bad Boys Awards. The BBAs. That's right. We put the V in the B to stick it in the A.
Hey,
now. All right. Hey, we're gonna throw out some awards here. Going to be very interesting here. So we're going to start with a little thing as I pull up the thing here. Okay. All right. Let's start with the most improved wrestler of the year, guys. Most improved wrestler of the year. Steve, why don't you kick it off there, buddy?
Sure. So for me, it was... Without a doubt, Harley Cameron. I think that she, from where she was at the start of 2025 to where she is at the end of 2025, I think that she's made vast improvements. And it obviously, she's the current AEW Women's World Tag Team Champion, right alongside of your favorite female wrestler, Willow Nightingale, Matt Michaels. I know that you're a huge fan, so... Harley stepped it up, man. She's had a great 2025.
Okay, Robb.
Well, I was gonna think about that one too, but I'm going to go with the storm is coming. Jade Cargill did have an improved year. She did move forward from the botches, and not, you know, Nia Jax level botches, but she took a massive injury, she sold it. She crafted together a halfway decent character out of it, and her in-ring work is better than it was at the beginning of her WWE career. I felt that they kind of had to give her the belt. They probably had a wonderful talk behind stage because they put a second gash on her, and geez Louise, it worked out well. I liked her having the belt better than what was happening with Tiffany Stratton, who was getting stale rapidly. So this was good.
All right. And of course, I'm going to throw it out to Maxine, because who the fuck saw that coming?
Dude, So if I could field a second place vote, it would be for Maxine Dupri, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Because out of all of them, at least, you know, Jade, of course, was, you know, the AEW and then, you know, and had the push on WWE, and Harley actually started the year before in terms of breaking out in terms of a character and stuff. The improvement is phenomenal as well, but Maxine, holy shit, like where the fuck did that come from? And beating Becky fucking Lynch. So
It's making pretty, her tap out too. That was great. Just like exclamation point on it.
Right, exactly. All right, let's go to best on the mic, Rob.
Toni Storm. Toni Storm is the voice of AEW. From cutting promos and, you know, fucking the commercial they did already was very funny at White Castle. That was great. Just fucking brilliant. Yeah. I love it. She really is the face of that company. She took a character that could have easily have become stale by now, because we're in year two of this, and she finds a way to reinvent and put people over. But the way in which she does it is her mic skills. She really dominates and finds a way to bring other people along with it and make it entertaining. I love what she's doing.
All right, Steve.
An Australian coach now.
So for me, you know, Rob, you just mentioned somebody that helps to put people over on the mic. I'm going with somebody that has not put anyone over on the mic other than himself all year long. And of course, I'm talking about the new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. Yeah, arguably no one better in professional wrestling currently than MJF on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Long Island again.
You're definitely right there. That's good. The person I'll go with is actually someone who does come close, and that's Ethan Page.
I'll give
someone
you
who has really come into his own in terms of, you know, they can give him a mic, and what he comes up with is just fucking great. So, you know, he's elevating people with it.
Yes.
Whereas MJF, the thing about MJF is what MJF is great is he elevates himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He makes himself look heads and shoulders better than everyone else. Where Ethan will make himself look like a jackass.
Yes.
And then that guy is starting to shine off of what Ethan's doing. So yeah, I think that's wonderful to see.
Ethan Page starts making out with Mirakawa in the ring, Gina Mirakawa, and starts his own version of the Timeless Love Bombs. Yeah, that's the kind of putting over I'm into.
Yeah, he is together with Chelsea right now. And I'm sure Cardona is like, well, if the paycheck goes up, do what you need to do, bro.
Yeah, we saw how quickly he became, woo, woo, woo. I'll never do that. How much?
Exactly.
One night? Woo, woo, woo.
Yep.
Can I keep the beard?
You know, damn sure that check cleared.
All right, we're doing the Vegas Bad Boy Awards here for the end of the year. Let's go with the faction / group of the year, Robert.
The faction / group of the year. This was a tough one, but I thought about it and I thought about it, and the only one that had some cohesiveness and they did some work. I do like my family tree. I like the dead president's motif. I like the usage of Talatanga, you know, of Hikuleo. They didn't quite dominate SmackDown as I hoped they would, but it has been some incredible mic work coming out of Solo Sikoa, and from a guy who barely could speak to a guy who is very fluid and also knows how to push the family. And, I think it goes into another segment that I just dawned on me, but they're feuding right now, and it's really good. Their feud right now is very entertaining with the Wyatt Six. So we'll double back around later with that one.
Steve, you can chime in now.
You know, you mentioned a family tree, and I'm going to speak about a family as well. But realistically speaking, there has to be some sort of a limit going forward, because my faction or group of the year, I mean, they got fucking 20 people in their ranks. So, you know, of course, you can't help but look at AEW TV and see the Don Callis family. But realistically speaking, they do have Okada, who has, up until World's End, he was the unified champion. He's still the international champion. You've had Kyle Fletcher, former TNT champion, in there. So realistically speaking, I don't think of any other faction in AEW, or, you know, realistically across the pro wrestling landscape, that is up there with the Don Callis family in terms of what they've done in 2025.
I've got my official Don Callis screwdriver. With Takeshita's blood on it.
You know, mine has orange juice and vodka in it, so hey.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a little Takeshita blood. So
there you go. Mm. All the above.
Yeah. Have y'all ever had a bloody Takeshita? It's a great drink.
Oh my god.
Promo.
My guys right now are making the bloody Takeshita. I can't do him. I want to do his voice. 2026, I will come up with a Don Callis.
There you go.
Or we'll just put a scar on Michael's forehead.
Just work on your Canadian accent. You'll be fine.
All I heard was, in 2026, you're going to come on Don Callis. Wow.
Hey.
Wow. That's
clip that and send that to fucking Don.
I've got nothing to say about that. I've got nothing to say about that.
Was that your Justin Trudeau?
Oh, God. You got a long way to go, bro. You got a long way to go.
I want to figure that out.
I will go with, in terms of factions, I would go along the same lines. I think that, Solo and Cobb and Hikaleu and, the Tongan boys, they've done a good job. I also think at this point, to me, stables are fucking boring. Just getting to that point. When you start having just these groups together, and none of these groups are the top. Now, the Bloodline was the top. All right. That made sense. But then, even Judgment Day, it's like, it's hard to find really where they fit in, because, again, stables are starting to become a little, and maybe it's because so many characters are kind of gray now, right? They're kind of in the middle. You have tweeners now, where it's like, are they face, are they heel? So
the Judgment Day half the time looks like they're a comic relief act. And I don't think it's intentional, but it ended up that way. And what they did this year with Dominic Mysterio really pushed it into the comic relief area.
I mean, honestly, just not for nothing, I would think Judgment Day would finish pretty high on, some lists for best faction of the year.
I think so, too.
If you look at what they did and who the members are, because obviously that's the key thing to think about, is with any of these factions, is you're only as good as your worst member, which is why I didn't list and why I didn't choose the Death Riders. Because honestly, if you look at it, it's Moxley and, you've got Claudio. But outside of that, you've got, let's be real, just a bunch of job guys. Pac has stepped it up. But yeah, I mean,
he's gone again.
You're only as good as your worst member.
Wheeler Yuta is not great on the mic, and he's obnoxious, and not even in that way that, all right, I like to hate the guy.
Oh, God, no. His beard alone is enough to fucking kill that fucking faction. And then throw in Daniel Garcia? That thing?
And he doesn't even have any real ring gear anymore. They just gave him shorts with his name on it. Like, it looks like they went to Fala's, that, Mexican clothing store on Craig, and we're just like, yeah, let's just snap an outfit together for him. There, take your shorts.
They literally, don't they just say Garcia? Like, he couldn't even earn the A.
I don't know. And then he makes no sense. Marina Shafir and Moxley are the only two ones performing in that faction. And Now they're going babyface, yeah. I guess, because you know, John Moxley cut a babyface promo and they all stood at attention.
Listen, it was great when China and Hunter did it 25 fucking years ago. You know, now it's like whatever, you know. But according to Tony Khan, John Moxley just shows why he is the heart and soul of AEW.
Well, I mean, here was the thing. It was the promo he cut after winning the Continental belt was a babyface.
Oh, absolutely.
Sugary promo, and everyone got behind him. I don't know if they had an audible. I would love to find out after the fact that if the crowd was booing him, he has a negative promo, and if they got behind him, he had a sugar promo.
Dude, he was babyface from the opening segment in that pay-per-view. He entered in his match with Kyle Fletcher as a babyface. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy just to see where things were. Because keep in mind, it wasn't until All In that Mox dropped the championship. At the time that he dropped the championship, everybody hated him, couldn't stand him. And it just goes to show how crazy and transformative something like the Continental Classic can be. Because he's getting crazy good reactions as a babyface again. People want to cheer for Mox after his performance in the season.
And the broken tooth, and he just kept licking it, and he kept owned it. They all owned it. I know, you know, it's ridiculous.
But you can't fake that shit. No. You can't fake that.
Well, Renee Young is sitting there commenting on it. He fought with a broken teeth and all.
Here we go.
Listen. As far as it goes, Kenneth Edmonds is the only babyface.
So, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Holy shit.
Where'd you find that reference?
It took me a second, but you finally got me there. Wow. Oh
my God. What the fuck? What is
That's
this?
Right. It's the Bad Boys Vegas, Bad Boys Year End Awards.
It's on the Vegas Bad Boys radio. Oh, yeah. The Quiet Storm.
Yeah, and not the Lance kind.
better like chair shots.
Oh my God, it's like a dad joke on a wrestling podcast.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to make sure you kids stay in line and don't do drugs, like someone I know.
Real American.
All right, so manager, valet, non-wrestler of the year, Steven.
All right, so I mentioned his family earlier. Yeah, Don Callis is my manager / valet / non-wrestler of the year, but I would give an honorable mention to Marina Shafir for what she has done this year with the Death Riders. But yeah, Don Callis is without a doubt the guy. And yeah, in terms of AEW, he's it, man. What, am I going to pick fucking Stokely? He's short, he's bald, and he gets no hoes.
You just want to see him get his ass kicked. That's about it. Of course. That's what he's good for.
But yeah, Don Callis.
Yeah.
Rob?
My name is Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is an actor. Paul Heyman, when he's doing something, they listen to him. At the Don Callis family, it seems like nobody's really following him as much as they just coagulate around him. The stuff that he's got going on with Takeshita and Okada, where they're fighting each other, seems like Don Callis has really no control over that family. Whereas Paul Heyman had the scenario by which they cooed, but not on Paul Heyman. They had a coup on Seth Rollins, and he immediately sells, and everyone circulates behind him. He's taking the Vision, which I thought was a shitty group at first, and is morphing it into something really entertaining. And that takes, you know, kayfabe and real ability behind the scenes to take four people who you would never put together
he had some kind of vision? Would he have some kind of vision?
Yeah, very good. Good job. He's just so versatile. Absolutely.
Did you just call him a jobber?
Yes, the best jobber, the greatest jobber, fantastic jobber. I like this jobber.
Oh, man. So he's your Bubba.
Oh, wow. Wait, we're not... I don't know who Bubba is, but he has good taste. Believe it. Believe it.
You know what? I really went outside the box here, and I don't think they get enough credit for it. So I think I'd go with Santino and what he's been doing in TNA. Okay. He added the different layer to being able to put stuff out there that gets things moved on, you know, by having this authority figure. Without having to rely on putting, the ownership out there and that kind of stuff. So,
and he kept his WWE persona and carried it on. I do appreciate the continuity. I'm a big proponent of continuity. I don't like it when wrestlers go to another promotion and then they have to try to revamp while keeping elements of what they had before. And when you leave WWE, you can't always keep it. So good on him.
All right, comeback performer of the year, Rob.
I don't know if I'd call him a comeback, but what he did in the last match, MJF, came out of nowhere, cashed in his version of Money in the Bank, his contract, won in a fatal four-way, entertained immediately, still has his Dynamite Diamond ring. The guy just comes from 0 to 1,000, 1,000 miles per hour, and everyone's behind it. Just love the guy. Absolutely love it. And he blows up social media too. His social media presence is just fucking amazing. And it's continues the storyline. He's got the picture of himself with his newlywed bride and he's making out with the belt. And the wife is like, he's pushing her away. She's not allowed to touch it. Fucking brilliant. I love the guy. I love it. Top to bottom. He knows how to perform, sell the whole nine yards.
Absolutely, man. So for me, it's got to be Kenny Omega. Coming back from diverticulitis, 2 feet of his intestines removed. Yes, obviously he's not the same Kenny Omega from 2018, but at the same time, he is still executing at a very, very high rate. And it's extraordinary that he's come back and to compete at the level that he is phenomenal. So all the best to Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that's pretty good right there. Well said. I think both of you chose really good ones. I think the comeback person of the year is R-Truth because he literally came back.
He was Ron
by Killings. Popular demand.
For 1 week, he was Ron Killings, and you'll put respect on his name. Then they said, no, Mr. Killings, here's a check. Just go back.
That's right. And of course we got to see him in a bunny suit on Christmas, which again, just, the little things that are done like that. Like I'm sitting there going, why is there a fucking bunny in the middle of a Christmas segment in terms of Hendry's concert? And then, the head comes off and it's like, oh, that makes sense because of Jesus and Ron Killings. And oh, yeah. Okay. So, I mean,
why not?
Yeah. It was great to see him come back for what we thought was, the end of him. And he's not done. All right. Breakout star of the year, Steve.
All right, man. So let's see here. Breakout star of the year is, was there anyone else that could touch Kyle Fletcher in this topic, in this category? And I don't think so. I said that he would have a big 2025 on the year-end show from last year. And sure as shit, he had a great 2025 with his, feuds with Ospreay and his battles. To winning the TNT Championship and, yes, main eventing a pay-per-view in AEW. I think that he established that he is ready for that main event scene and he will be in the main event for much of 2026 and going forward.
All right, Rob.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Clap, clap.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting there at WrestleMania thinking, all right, let it be Nick Aldis who shows up. Let it be Nick Aldis. It's going to be Nick Aldis. Freaking Randy Orton went through everybody else. Nick Aldis is pissed at him. He's a wrestler. He'll show up. They'll put out some weird music, and then he comes out in gear and beat. And then we hear that music, and my head explodes. He's already done SmackDown. He's already at NXT concerts. He is the biggest fucking star in WWE right now, and he's barely been in it. And Triple H said to him after his first WrestleMania appearance in 41 in Vegas, he goes, "You're going to have many more." I mean, they knew that this guy and again, continuity. They did not try to remake him and then, we're going to take him and take the clay and move it. No, he's done. You've got a packaged guy. TNA handed you a complete package. Fucking standing ovation. Mic drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Along those same lines, I think Mariah May, has finally done it. And mainly to go out the way she did out of AEW on top in terms of that whole feud and, you know, the end and just the way it played out. And then to come and now, transfer that character into the WWE style of packaging. You know, more vignettes, more of the character work, more of, you know, having two sides of that persona of, you know, this beauty yet this bitch.
The woman.
And now what they, yeah, exactly. And now what they just did with, Thea getting the title off of her on accident and, the way that Ryan May is handled everything.
Monroe.
Yeah. And also kudos on her using Blake because of her niece, little things like that. It's great and happy about that for her. So, all right. Tag team of the year. Let's go with you, Rob.
This is a hard one for me because I really could not. I couldn't think. I don't want to go with the AJ Styles. I hate slap together ones, but at the same time, with that in mind, AEW had an interesting year for Brody King and Bandido. That was an interesting tag team. Yeah. They had a banger after banger on the matches. For a slap together tag team that came over in a gauntlet style scenario, they came out with something very entertaining and they had great chemistry. So I hope to see them again.
Yeah. Steve.
So for me, it's FTR solidifying their legacy as one of the greatest tag teams of all time. If you look at their body of work in 2025, and again, from where they were at the beginning of the year, their character progression, the things that they have done with Stokely. Let's be real. Previous iterations of heel FTR really haven't worked extremely well. And I think that they have some really good stuff going right now in AEW, and especially, adding Stokely to the mix with them. I wasn't too crazy about it at first, but the juxtaposition works. And you've got Cash getting into it with the fans, like almost provoking people to violence, which is great to see from an outside perspective. And you've got Dax putting in some good character work as well. Yeah, FTR doing great things in 2025.
Yeah, speaking of greatest, I'd give the Hardys this one for
good call.
Okay, yeah, very good, nice. Call.
Yeah, I think this is the beginning of the end tour for them, and you know, the what they've been able to do, the NXT TNA same time tag team championships, you know, going against the Dudleys one more time, you know, and doing that.
That ladder spot was good.
Yeah. So and also working with the younger people, getting Leon Slater, yes, you know, to the next level. It's just been nice to see, and you know, I think that we're seeing that the wind down of them. So I think that is pretty amazing right there. Okay, we'll go with let's go with
Rookie.
Yeah, rookie slash newcomer of the year. Steve.
Oh, okay. So for me, rookie slash newcomer of the year, I'm going to throw you guys a little curveball on this one. I am going with El Grande Americano.
Yes, that is brilliant.
Bursting onto the scene. Amazing rookie year for such a great upstart in the world of Lucha Libre. And, you know, there have been a lot of intertwining storylines associated with Grande Americano. And I genuinely do want to see kind of where we go next with that character and with that storyline, especially knowing that certain people are now medically cleared. And how they're going to intertwine that individual into things. Realistically, I do want to check out that storyline in 2026 for sure.
Can Chad Gable speak Spanish?
Of course he does. Of course he can. Of course he can.
Why are you talking about Chad Gable?
Right. Oh. Yeah. I don't know what you're
saying. Of course. This guy named Kaiser, I know. They have this German wrestler in WWE who could speak Spanish. Did you know that? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's incredible.
I had no fucking idea.
All I heard you say is Kaiser Roll. Okay, Rob, what is your next?
Well, it's not going to be as cool as Steve's, but Leon Slater, X Division champion from TNA, beats Moose over April. I forgot what pay-per-view that was. Tags with Javon Evans in NXT, has just a smash-up year. And he's another guy that is NXT-bound any day now. They'll be taking that belt off of that X Division belt, or he could go the other route and cash it in and do option C. But I would love to see whatever he comes up with. He's just doing spectacularly. And we saw him at a show just a few months ago and didn't think anything of it. Like, all right, you beat Moose. Okay, we'll see where this goes. Oh, I was wrong. They put a rocket on him. Two promotions put a rocket on him.
Rightfully so, though, man. Rightfully so.
And
They got something good in him, man, for sure.
Oh, amazing.
Well, so I echo your sentiment. But I actually have the created wrestler of Javon Leon, because Javon Evans and Leon Slater are both neck and neck. Two of the fucking most incredibly entertaining, talented, next level, next version type wrestlers that are coming along. So, and putting them together was a very smart thing, and so it's very entertaining to see, and very happy with what both of them are doing. Okay. Next thing, best in-ring performer. Steve.
I am going to go with the current IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Konosuke Takeshita. All year long, Takeshita has put on banger after banger after banger, and he's just getting started, guys. He is super young, and it's going to be great to see what Takeshita can do. Obviously, other awards listed Will Ospreay, but unfortunately, I mean, Ospreay's been out for a considerable amount of time this year, so I couldn't in good faith give him the Duke. But I will say this: Takeshita has really stepped it up especially in the last half of 2025. But yeah, he is without a doubt the best in-ring performer in the world right now.
All right, Rob.
I get what you're saying with Ospreay being gone, but even for what he was able to produce this year, it's still better than most of the individuals in WWE. Now, granted, it is a different style of wrestling.
Oh yeah,
theirs is a lot more methodical, and you know, hey, here's a commercial break. We're going to stretch this out. Whereas AEW is spot. Not as much as New Japan, but I think that gives him a credit as to why he's out. He's out because he's performing at such a higher level than anyone else, and putting his body through a lot of stress at a younger age. But fucking amazing.
I can't say enough about both those. That's great. I gotta go with Gunther.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of if you look at the WWE and you look at the style, again, here's a guy who literally was the fat kid on the playground.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and holy shit, it's just something else. Yeah. And he can do he can hang with anyone, any style, everything. Another one who might even qualify as comeback of the year is Dragunov. Because Dragunov, same thing. His in-ring style just ridiculous.
Unreal.
Giving Carmelo Hayes the win over him to have the U.S. Championship was a big boost for Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah.
So I think I'm looking forward. Hopefully, we see that Dragunov Gunther. WrestleMania match at some point.
Ooh.
Because those two would steal the fucking show.
Bro,
which means I don't know if they'll ever do it because of that.
They crushed it in NXT UK. They absolutely crushed it over there. So yeah, give them the main stage, 80,000 people. Yes, please.
Dragunov's mic skills are great and his in-ring is great.
Those two have come so far, and that is probably one of the matches of the decade, to be honest. Yeah. So, to see them, go up, it's great. We're talking about some of the big stuff, the overall stuff like that. What's the storyline of the year, Rob?
The Vision. They had to play an audible. Rollins being injured, and they now have to play an audible. As I understood it, they were not going to pop that as quickly as they did. They were going to wait down the road, and they took something and just crafted a good faction. Paul Heyman takes on, you got Bron Breakker. Yeah, he's good, but will he have mic skills? You have the other Bron. My name is Tsunami. I fucking
blame Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed. God damn it.
Tsunami.
Bronson Reed. He did something with them.
Let's repackage him, Pally. Let's call him Tsunami.
Hold on, wait a minute. Stu-nami.
Stu-nami.
No, but that was it. And then the tribal thief, they got clothing lines from him. They made him marketable. They made, those two guys. And then you just take in two other guys who in their own rights had their own identities. Logan Paul, did he need to be in the faction? No. Does he work in the faction? Yeah. Because the idea, like every day, he's trying to prove himself to Paul Heyman. Austin Theory's trying to prove himself to Paul Heyman. There is an uncertainty, and there is a caste system within there. You're seeing rich storylines that you could easily go in different directions with it. At any time you could see somebody turning on the other. And at the end of the day, this is a Paul Heyman team with what he did before with the Bloodline. It was Roman Reigns. These people serve Paul Heyman now. It's a different dynamic. I love it. And it came out, I think, out of happenstance, but fuck it. It works.
Steve, storyline of the year.
All right, storyline of the year for me was the Hollywood saga, if you will. Mariah May and Toni Storm had a killer first half of the year that unfortunately recency bias will cloud everything. But keep in mind, Mariah May and Toni Storm, this whole thing with the turn, Mariah turned after winning the Owen Hart tournament, which happened at the beginning of the year. And
would you almost say that she fell from the sky?
Possibly. But and you know, the thing that stands out is the character work. Everybody bags on AEW and their lack of character work, which, you know, realistically, yeah, that's definitely a weak point, is telling stories outside of the ring. Their in-ring storytelling is pretty solid, but it's telling stories outside of the ring that has been kind of like their Achilles heel. This was one of those instances where everything worked as it needed to, and we saw the end of Mariah May in a match that they spelled it out and point blank told us that after this, she's gone, without us knowing that at the time as fans. And obviously at the end of the Hollywood ending match, you know, they throw the end up there on the Tron, and it really did allow Mariah May to close that chapter and start something completely fresh over in WWE. It allowed Toni Storm to do things as well. But realistically, that's one of the best stories that AEW has told, not just this year, but any year.
Yeah. I mean, that's very, very poignant, very true. The storyline of the year is John Cena retiring.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say it. That's why I didn't want to. But
Yeah. And really, in all aspects of it, right? Because from the beginning until the end, it was nothing but internet chatter about how great this is, how horrible this is, how wonderful this is, how bad this is, how this shouldn't have happened, how that should have happened, how this didn't happen. All he did was break the internet by continuing to trend, no matter what it was.
Right.
And in that you know, realm, and in the fact that you know, people were paying upwards around, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars to be at that last match. Shit.
30K.
People collecting all of his retirement t-shirts from every city he visits and all of the gear.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was just smart marketing. Every single city got its own Cena gear.
Right. Yeah. Very, very, very true. Okay. So on that then, the feud and rivalry of the year. Steve.
All right. So obviously, I mentioned the Hollywood saga previously. Realistically, though, for me, I would have to go with Fletcher and Ospreay. They had the absolutely crazy, crazy cage match early on in the year. And this is a feud that by no means saw its full resolution. But we saw, I'd say, the first couple chapters in the saga. And I'm excited to see where things go, because obviously Ospreay is on the shelf with injury right now. Fletcher is executing at a very high rate, very high rate, and just went out and had a match of the year candidate with Jon Moxley at World's End, for instance. But it'll be fun to see what position Fletcher's in when Ospreay comes back, and how they kind of weave in and out of each other's paths now that there's probably a dynamic change between the two.
All right, Rob.
For me, one of the, I don't know, feud of the year, there's so many different options. I liked, though, the Young Bucks versus Fletcher and not Will Fletcher, Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. The stipulations of that match, that these guys are no longer going to be your, you know, EVPs. There's so much more on the line for them to lose that match. And the way they even capped it off, coming out like the founding fathers of wrestling, like, you know, Washington over the Delaware, they really built it up tremendously. Even though on the, you know, on the outset, you see Will Ospreay and Swerve leave, but the match had great implications and the buildup to it was really well done.
Yeah, I think the rivalry of the year is Tony Khan versus Cocaine. When he is,
I keep losing that one, or maybe I'm winning. I'm not certain.
You know, I believe that it definitely was Toni Storm and Mariah May. And it comes down to the fact that, like I said, then that should have closed that show.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
Final image of that show should have been the end. Yep. And it would have been the perfect bow.
Fade to black. Everything. Go to black and white. And.
But instead, yeah. Do you remember what closed that show, Michaels?
Yeah. The nonsense Moxley bullshit.
Mox and Cope.
Yeah.
Two of your faves.
Yeah.
We all had to cope with it.
Yeah. Where did that go? Oh, God. All right. So we got that. Rob, match of the year.
Match of the year. The match of the year. Also, is the one I just used before as the feud of the year, was that Young Bucks versus fucking Swerve.
It was such a memorable match of the year. I even can't tell you who they wrestled, but it was great.
No, my brain farted out. It was one of the greatest matches, the greatest spots.
This is great.
The way they came back and out of every spot and encountered, it was just so many great spots, and it was a great match.
Yeah, the super kicks were amazing, and it was like they had a, you know, a super kick party or something. It was just incredible.
My bro, I need my coffee right now. All right. Don't wake up at 5.
Steve, what was the match of the year?
So match of the year was Hangman versus Mox at All In Texas. I know you hate it, but the fact is, for half of the year, John Moxley had the AEW World Championship held hostage in a briefcase. And it really showed how important Hangman winning that championship, opening up that briefcase and showing that title off to the world again after being sequestered for 6 or so months. It was a pivotal story and something to where you did see storylines interweaving, and it truly did feel like a major, let's be real, WrestleMania level type of a main event because of the storytelling that they threw behind that match and how all roads led to that finish.
I just wanted it to be over. I don't know why. No,
trust me,
there's a gym bag with a briefcase with a title in it, and we never really explained why. And there was supposed to be secret people, a secret cabal running John Moxley, and we never got any of it. It was going to Shane.
I was going to say, thank God we did not get Shane McMahon as part of that fucking stable.
Oh,
thank
you my very much. God, it was it was nauseating. I was glad it was over.
Yeah, I'll go very simple here. It was AJ Styles versus John Cena.
Yeah.
That was a good match, yeah. They did everybody else's finishers.
It was awesome. It was a love letter to pro wrestling, man.
Yeah, and it literally, it's two guys on the way out, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we know AJ's wrapping it up here soon. So, yeah.
Let's have fun with it.
Yeah,
also, exactly. Also, really quick special shout out to the women's three-way at WrestleMania. That was
pretty fucking
basically incredible. 1A, 1B. That was 1B for me.
Yeah.
So. Well, you said women in three-way, so I was happy immediately.
Yeah. Especially the women involved.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rob, Jade and her two gashes did not participate in that one. So,
two gash Cargill.
All right, moment of the year, Steve.
The moment of the year was a moment that broke the internet. No matter if you were a pro wrestling fan or not, if you were a WWE fan, an AEW fan, a Japanese wrestling fan, everybody grinded to a halt when they realized that John Cena turned heel after all these years. Say whatever you want about the subsequent heel run.
Hold on, Steve. Steve, I think we have a Jim Varney impression in our...
Oh, shit.
I think Ernest just went to camp there with that face.
That's awesome. But yeah, man, say whatever you will about that heel run. A lot of people hated it, and I completely understand it. But the fact is, that moment broke the internet. It generated more buzz around pro wrestling. And to be honest, I had people that had not followed any pro wrestling product in years actually come up to me because they know of me as, you know, the wrestling guy. And they're like, so what happened with John Cena going bad guy? And, you know, some of the people that asked me about it, I was like, holy shit, this is a really cool moment to where I can actually talk pro wrestling with this person that I up until that point had no idea was a fan. So yeah, well,
it's nice that you and your mom finally talked again. That's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Exactly.
It's you know, that's hey, the way it goes. Yeah. I mean, my mom didn't realize it. So we still haven't talked. So,
and you know what? You know, what's funny is my mom actually did ask me about John Cena becoming a bad guy.
There you go.
So, shout outs to mom. Love you. I talk to my mom every week, but yeah, it was actually really cool. Really.
But in that particular week, it really meant something to me.
it was talking pro wrestling with mom. Yeah. I haven't been able to do that in years.
So what happened with that Hulk Hogan character? Where is he nowadays?
Wow. We got a long story to talk about on that one.
Oh, okay. And then speaking of short stories, Rob.
Solo Cena. You would think that the highlight of that scene was Cody Rhodes telling The Rock to go fuck himself.
Right.
And at that point, you're not expecting that from Cody Rhodes, not the baby face sugary crap. And that entire scene, The Rock with the neck, and then Cena went from him, because yeah, at that point, Cena sold it. He was prancing around. Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Hey, Vern.
Fucking brilliant. Now, what did they do with it afterwards? They took a shit on it. They Takeshed it. They take a shit on it. They were like, oh, yeah. We're like, wait a minute. We have to do something with this now. Can't we just make him like a whiny Karen for the next 3 months? No, please don't make him a Karen. No, we're just gonna make him a whiny Karen. Well, what is he complaining about? That he was successful. And that people liked him and some people didn't. But that's all wrestling. Yeah, I know. It's a shitty story. But this was really good. Yes. It broke the internet. Yes, we'll break it again over 3 months. Here, buy his new color t-shirt. I think it's blue this week.
Yeah. You know, we're all in the same boat on this one. So definitely agree on that. Okay, let's go with the event / show of the year, Rob.
AEW, I think they had better overall matches. I just like the quality of the matches and some of the storylines, even the stuff that was obnoxious with the, you know, Moxley. At least they concluded it and in dramatic fashion. Numbers didn't quite reflect it, but outside of the Cena stuff, there was just more stuff going on at AEW.
Right. So, Steve, what is your favorite event / show of the year?
Well, Matt, my event / show of the year was AEW All In Texas.
That's what I'm... What the fuck? Oh, I did your promotion of the year. I looked at the wrong thing. And I also had All in Texas. Sorry. All
well,
in
there Texas. You go.
Moxley winning. I mean, Moxley losing. I fucking.
Well, in that case.
Get this man some fucking coffee, even Steve, if it is 10 o'clock at night.
Steve, not only tell us about why that show is it, but you can also tell us why AEW is the promotion of the year for you, too. So let's get that out of the way, too. Two birds, one stone.
Realistically speaking, I think that AEW did not just have a great year. I think that they had one of their best years in terms of character development, storylines, actually making people give a shit again. Starting to see rebounding on ticket sales and ratings, which obviously that's always been a thing that people are choosing to use and hold over the head of AEW fans. Ooh, I get it. I understand. They're a challenger brand. They dare to challenge the almighty WWE. I understand that. But at the end of the day, AEW has put on better pay-per-views. They've had better matches. And now they're finally building characters. So again, professional wrestling is getting better because when the tide comes in, all boats rise. And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Plus, there was that little streaming deal with Max. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I don't know. You know, simulcast. It's kind of a thing.
It's very yeah. Max.
Yeah. I would say that for me, it was NXT Stand and Deliver right here in Las Vegas. Pretty much a perfect pay-per-view or premium live event for NXT. And overall, I'd say my favorite promotion has been the NXT NA. Just the merger of the two and being able to develop, so much more talent, given opportunities for everyone to kind of grow and to see where the future leads with this now AMC deal in place that starts here in a couple of weeks. So, I think that pretty much says it all. Okay, so we got through those. Thank you, Rob.
coffee. I need some fucking coffee or something. I don't know.
Female wrestler of the year, Steve.
Female wrestler of the year is another one of your favorites, Matt Michaels. And I'm talking about Ultimo Monet, Mercedes Monet. Sure. You can say whatever you will about her demeanor, the way that you know she is. Dude, the fact is, if you look at her match quality in 2025, it's been pretty fucking great. Yes, she ran with the belt collector gimmick. But at the end of the day, she didn't just limp into those matches. She went in and had banger matches with everybody. And just by that, you know, those independent promotions or those smaller promotions announcing that Mercedes Monet is on their shows, those smaller promotions definitely saw a bit of a windfall just by having Mercedes on those shows. And I think we're starting to see the winding down of that particular storyline. And she is losing these championships. So it's not like as if what a lot of people hypothesize that, oh, well, she's not going to drop any of these championships. I think that we're going to see 2020.
There were people actually saying that kind of shit. Like,
oh, dude. Everybody was saying, oh, well, they're going to run an injury angle so that she just drops the titles and doesn't have to lose those titles. So, yeah, it's actually ridiculous.
I would have paid fucking $56,000 to sit ringside when she vacated 13 titles at once.
you'd be sitting there with Daryl and DJ Impact would be on a hemo donut.
All right, Rob, your female wrestler of the year.
Io Sky. Io Sky has been so dynamic. He's done such an amazing job from, women's, heavyweight gold to tagging over with Rhea Ripley and doing such a phenomenal job, and her in-ring work is just amazing. The stuff she was doing with Naomi and of course, Rhea Ripley, those matches were amazing. She was beating up people twice her size and making it look easy from and really from a high-flying stuff and being able to hold her own in hand-to-hand combat on the mat. Her mat work was incredible, so just fucking great.
Yeah. You know, I think that those are very valid. I myself, I think that Sol Ruka is someone who really, you know, shined above what I think others were doing. She has elevated herself now to a point where they can't hold her back much longer from being a main roster person.
You know, just have to find out where to insert her.
Well, it's pretty simple. I don't know if we have to have this talk, Rob, but you know, insertion.
Please tell me. Oh no, but do you put her on SmackDown? Do you put her on Raw? Do you who do you have her chase?
I put her on all fours. And who does she chase? You don't even want to start to know where I'm going with that in my mind.
I'm still working behind the scenes.
That's right, pal. She's going to become Vince's little doggy.
Get the bucket and the mop.
So anyway, that is my choice. Okay, Male Wrestler of the Year, Rob.
Male Wrestler of the Year, the guy has just been kicking ass and taking names at 26 miles per hour, Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker has an explosive year. He will have a belt in 2026, maybe in a couple of weeks, but it's going to be fucking incredible the year he's going to have and the year he has had.
Steve, you're Male Wrestler of the Year. And why is it Takeshita or Okada or Ospreay or Fletcher or Omega?
Are those the final answers? Because you named like six names and you didn't name my Male Wrestler of the Year. Because my Male Wrestler of the Year is the Ring of Honor World Champion Bandido. Dude, this guy has just had an amazing year. Definitely the best year of his career. The things that he's done in Ring of Honor have, again, banger after banger. But also, we saw more and more of him on AEW TV. Rob, you mentioned the Brodito tag team with Brody King. Bandido proved just what he can do, not just in a lucha setting, but that he's got amazing power for somebody his size. You can build around Bandido, and he is somebody that the fans absolutely love. He's got a great finisher, and yeah, dude, Bandido, it was all about him in 2025. I will say my close second was Takeshita, so you were pretty close. But Bandido just on another level this year.
Yeah, with that said, mine is Mr. Iguana.
of course. La Yesca.
You know, so my pull would really lean towards being Dominic Mysterio, to be in all honesty. I just can't say enough about where he's come and all around, just to be such an instant heat magnet into now where the fans just want to appreciate him is crazy. But on the other flip side of it, you got to say John Cena, because we're never going to be able to say John Cena is a Wrestler of the Year again. This is it. It is over. 2025 has ended. Yep. Put it away. You can't see him anymore, except on the movie screens and on the television and in commercials and probably on the live stage and most likely doing sporting events. And I would assume probably working at a Pep Boys, maybe teaching classes.
What you're saying is we'll be able to see John Cena everywhere else except in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, I just don't think there's anything that John Cena has ever turned down or cannot do. So,
well, actually, I have news for you. They're going to remake Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, and he's going to play the role of Bonesaw. So you will see him in a ring.
Nice. Are you being facetious with that, or is that...
The fact that you're not certain.
Dude, I don't know, because nothing's out of the realm of possibility with John Cena.
Hey, bro, my name is Bonesaw, and you can't see me. Ah.
The guy is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's the, what, he does the ads for Honda. Like, he does the voiceovers for Honda, in addition to everything else that he's doing. So you're not just seeing him. You're going to be hearing him everywhere, too.
You know what the funny thing is, though? The John Cena entrance theme is in a Toyota commercial.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
If it's a Japanese car, I'll drive it.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Wait, which car am I getting this week? It's a Dodge? Whatever.
Yep.
He is my dream spot to play Captain America if they ever reboot that franchise. I would love him to be fucking Captain America. Give him a bleach blonde wig and send him out there.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Yeah.
And do
once
it.
Again, once again, you just pushed aside the black Captain America for another white guy. Thank you, Rob. You racist.
Fine. We'll put The Rock in there and he'll put everybody to sleep like all of his movies.
Hey, man, a Peacemaker versus Shazam film should be in the works. DC, get on it. wasn't
Black Adam. Shazam. He's Black Adam.
Black Adam.
Yeah. Black Adam.
Hey, the tables have turned. Now you, Black Adam, that movie was... Isn't Black Adam supposed to be like an Italian-Russian-looking guy with greasy black hair? And instead you have The Rock sitting there just snoring people to sleep.
I don't know.
But they're going to make a Black Adam Superman movie where they bring back Henry Cavill to be Superman. So maybe Henry Cavill can save.
I don't think so.
No,
that's passive.
I'm holding out for the Val Kilmer Batman reboot. So.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Yeah.
How about that Top Gun prequel that they were going to make?
Yeah, that too. I would love to see that. I also want to see the Doors sequel. On tap. So, also Tombstone. That's going to be a great follow up.
Well, it'll just be them carving his tombstone.
Rest in peace to Val Kilmer.
Yep.
Yeah. Wait, is he dead?
Yeah. For about 8 months now.
Oh.
No, he's moldy.
Damn. Wow. Guess they'll have to get Ray Liotta.
You went from a Top Gun pilot to the like mob hit. The mob guy in Goodfellas. Okay,
Goodfellas. Yeah.
Not even close. Like, imagine Ray Liotta as Batman. Yeah, so it was me and Tommy Tuno.
Please.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, people just disappear. And then, you know, you just got to fucking deal with it, you know?
I could have seen Ray Liotta playing Tony Khan.
Jeez.
Nah, I know you're joking, but I can't. Tony Khan, who would have to be? Aziz Asnari. He could do
Timothy
it.
Chalamet. Timothy Chalamet. Tell me it ain't.
But like a coke up version of.
Oh, Willy no, wait Wonka. A minute. Wait a minute. Oh, no, I got a better guy. I got the ultimate guy. Oh, Fuck. Oh, what was that guy? The Borat. The guy who played Borat.
Oh, God. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yes. He is Tony Khan.
Yeah. No. Chalamet would be Tony Khan, and he would be Sacha Shad.
Baron Cohen would be Shad.
Yeah. With the mustache.
It would come out. With the stash.
No, you know what I could see doing that, and they'd have to blackface him up a bit. Jim Carrey. Because imagine Mr. Robotnik, and just give him the hair. He would do it. He would do it. He would do it. Sure, Shad Khan is Jim Carrey.
Wait, Shad Khan as Jim Carrey. Jim
Carrey. My son, Nassau love you. What are you doing? I am Ace Ventura. Oh, man. Oh, detective.
Oh, God.
Jim Carrey as Shad Khan. It would be perfect.
There you go.
They put him in a fat suit. He runs down the ring and tries to grab his son's lifeless body.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Michaels. Yeah.
Did we have a wrestler of the year, or was that just male of the year?
Rob, give us your wrestler of the year.
John Cena.
There you
John
go.
Cena, the entire year was dedicated to John Cena across every promotion.
There you go. I will agree.
All right. I think we're all in agreement. John Cena, wrestler of the year.
There you
again,
go.
Because we will never be able to say that again in our lives. That is that. And that is a wrap for 2025 as we say goodbye to 2025.
Lost and celebrating Piod.
Hey. No need to get all close to the text there.
It's so funny because, Rob, I was just doing the same thing. I was like, wait, what the fuck does it say now?
It says lost.end. And then CCLER Cyrillic letters DOA and F without the other P. I don't know what that letter is, an upside down LIGIM Piodcast. Oh, no, wait, that's a PIOODCAST. Yeah, Piodcast. Los End Celebregamon.
Well, now you've just summoned the demon from hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Way to go, Rob.
Thanks for fucking summoning Vecna. All right.
Yeah. Now fucking Cena will wrestle forever. He will go to TNA next week and make a new faction called Fortune.
Wait, how come he's
John Cena is gonna take the lotion and put it on his body. John Cena revolution your body.
Oh man.
It rubs the lotion on his skin or he performs in Crockett Promotions again.
Okay. All right, Rob. As we say goodbye this year, where are you going to be coming up here?
Tomorrow there will be a show at Rick's Rolling Smoke with my buddy Mike Stiggs. Catch me there around like the 8 o'clock. Time in fact, hold on, let me give you that exact. Let's see. 8 o'clock. We'll just say 8 o'clock. Get your ass over to Rick's Rolling Smoke. It's gonna be fun.
Okay.
Las Vegas Boulevard, where they film Pawn Stars.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Well, maybe we can get you to pawn something there.
Well, I need a camera for Christmas. I need a for Christmas 2026. I need a camera.
Well, there you go. Anyone wants to buy Rob a new camera so that he doesn't look like he does on camera right now? That's probably appreciated.
Nothing more depressing though when you go to the Walmart and look in that camera. And that's.
Yeah, they don't make anybody look good in those cameras.
No, very depressing. Right. That's why I stopped shopping there.
All right, Steve, what do you got to say as we say goodbye to 2025?
All right. Hey, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. And happy fucking New Year.
Right. And, hey, I mean, holy goddamn fuck. What the fucking fuck? That was 25.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, it is fucking over. Holy fuck. What the
fuck? I just remembered something. We did not get a message.
Well, no, because it's the year end awards. And at this point, it's an hour and 20 minutes in. And I think he's off golfing anyway. So
probably
why not? You know, give him the week off. Give him the week off. He deserves it.
Well, yeah, his cankles are very swollen, so he's not going to be able to do any golf right now anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Looks like Incredible Hulk bursting out of the shoe scene. Like, it just...
Yeah. Yeah. So, and
he's retaining a lot of McDonald's.
When he comes back on the show next year, I'm sure we can get the full redacted Epstein files read to us.
I'll believe that shit when I see it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Adam Copeland's on it, that John Moxley's on it.
Oh my God. The views expressed on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast.
I don't know about any of them, but I'm on there too, God damn it. I went through those girls like toilet paper.
There's definitely one person, yeah, that would not be a surprise from the wrestling world if he was on it.
No shit.
Rick the Smell! What the Rock is cooking.
I don't know. That would kind of be a surprise. But I think Vince would be very, like, foregone conclusion.
I got my friend here, Ric Flair, God damn it. Get over here and play with the Nature Boy.
I don't know, Flair. Flair.
Helicopter.
Yeah, Flair. Yep. Flair. Yep. Just all he needed was a bar.
Yeah, yeah. That's all that he needed. He didn't need to go to an island. He'll just get sauced and you just whip it out at the bar.
Yeah, especially.
Hey, lady, I'm styling and profiling. Woo!
All right, so at what point
is the first time that it's going to be on Space Mountain?
Woo!
At what point did Ric Flair and Harry Carey have a kid? I'm styling and profiling.
Flair wins. I'm working on that one. I don't have them all down. I've only got them. I've got about four or five, but I'm working on them.
That's awesome. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well,
I gave you the option. I gave you the exit. I could have given you, could have had one that I know how to do.
Well, on that note, as we look behind at 2025,
DJ Impact, raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on, I'ma tie it with a noose, cause I love you to death, girl. You got me on you. Yeah, these girls. In the booth so fine, white fuzzy slippers on the low key rhyme, spinning records till the break of dawn, and those slippers, he got it going on.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.